Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And we've covered salvation and the law, salvation and redemption, salvation and imputation, salvation and justification, salvation and regeneration, salvation and propitiation, salvation and sanctification. What's that mean? Salvation and joy. And tonight we're going to look at salvation and resurrection, which is going to be a lot with the word birth and the word regenerated, but we're going to focus on, I'll show you why here, resurrection. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." I love those plural pronouns, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That the word Trinity is not in your Bible, but the Godhead is, "Let us, our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." We're verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. You're there in Genesis 1. Go to the first part of Genesis 2. Now, look at verse number 6, Genesis chapter 2. So God makes man in His image. Look at verse number 6, Genesis 2, verse 6. "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Many things God spoke into existence, God made man. Took dust, took the dust of the earth, mud if you will, clay, God formed him. And then, I don't know if it looked like CPR, we'll find out when we get to heaven, I don't know, but it does say God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and when God did that, man became a living soul, an eternal soul. Take your Bible and go to the New Testament. Let's look at the word we're going to use for resurrection tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You're in Genesis. Go all the way to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll give you a definition here. Ephesians chapter 2. Ready? And look at verse number 1. It's in verse 1 and 5 here, but watch this. "And you hath he quickened." Now that word is in your Bible several times. Let me give you the definition for the word quickened. It means this: made alive or resurrected. Made alive or resurrected. Now if you have the word, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word quick in your Bible doesn't mean fast. God used it, for the Word of God is quick or it's alive. The Bible is alive if you have a King James Bible. If you don't, then you have something that's been played with. But here it says, "And you hath he quickened," which means made alive or resurrected, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, when we were lost, had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." So he's talking about us before we got saved, even as others. Look at verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us," verse 5, "even when we were," there it is again, "dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." So, as you, for by grace are ye are saved. Here we go. Foundational for tonight is God made us in Him, in His image. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It is never this: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are not sub to each other. They are equal. The three are one. Now, just like God made God made us in His image. God has three parts. Man has three parts. We have a big circle. We have a body. Inside that circle, we have a soul, and inside our soul is our spirit. God made us a tri-being. When man sinned in the garden, man, his spirit died, and he became a twofold creature. You say, are you sure? Matthew 10:28, we don't have time to look at it tonight, says, fear not those that can kill the body only, but fear him who is able to cast both soul and body into hell. How come God didn't say soul, body, and spirit into hell? Because a lost man doesn't have a spirit. It's dead. A lost man only has a body and a soul. Now, you're there in Ephesians. All right, go to Colossians. Let's look at this word quickened again. God says here, when you got saved, He quickened or resurrected your spirit. You say, Pastor, this is a lot like the regeneration lesson. I know that. There are several words in the Bible that deal with what God did when He saved you. He washed you. He regenerated you. He made you alive. But God says, when you were dead, your spirit was dead in trespasses and sins, God quickened or made alive or resurrected, brought back to life that which was dead. That's what the word resurrect means, right? You can't be resurrected unless you were alive before you were dead, right? So God uses the word quickened here in your Bible, and God says when He saved you, when you put your trust in Christ, your spirit was resurrected or brought back to life. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Here's this word quickened again. Are you ready? Look at Colossians chapter 2. And look at verse number 13. I know Colossians and Ephesians are similar, but God put them in the Bible for us to get slightly different angles on things. Watch this. Look at verse 13. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, or made alive, or resurrected together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. There's that word quickened again. Salvation is a resurrection. That is why, praise the Lord, that is one reason I know once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. That is like that. If you understand, when God brought your spirit back to life, He made it alive, He quickened it. It used to be dead. Then God, through the power of God, the Spirit of God, brought your spirit back to life. Now you're a body, a soul, and a spirit. You're a whole human being. You're a whole person now, able to communicate with God. Now, God says, for you to lose your salvation, do you realize this? Think about this just for a second. For you to lose your salvation would mean you could kill that which God brought to life. You can't do that. Nobody has the power to bring anything to life spiritually. All right, here we go. That is a works salvation. That is what makes a cult, is when work salvation and cults, they work on the body, but they cannot regene or make alive or resurrect the spirit. A work salvation and cultists work from the outside in. God works from the inside out. God saves your spirit first. Then that is supposed to affect your soul or your personality, and that is supposed to affect your body and how you carry yourself. Cults or work salvation works from the outside in. So, I think I told you this. There's a famous movie out, and it's a Christian movie, and it's about these missionaries that went to Oregon. And it shows this, one guy told me, in a Christian school where I was at, they said, oh, you got to see this movie. It'll bring tears to your eyes. And you know me, I have a different slant on everything. So I was like, okay, here we go. They show the husband and wife going to, I think it was Oregon or Washington State. They're going to be missionaries to the Indians. And the wife got real paranoid about the Indians coming into her house barefoot. And so she, oh, you can't come into my house like this. And they showed all these things. And they said, you know, and the Indians, you know, when they get there, they just have, you know, their summer clothing on, which I think is a loincloth or whatever. And she says, oh, you need to get dressed. Not one time did the missionaries give the Indians the gospel. They were teaching them culture. Do you understand? Oh, put your shoes on before you come in. Oh, you got to put some clothes on. The Indians ended up getting so angry at the missionaries, you know, and then they showed the Indians coming in and, you know, killing the husband and killing the wife, and then this missionary tragedy. Not one time did they give the gospel. Now, I'm not for the missionaries getting killed, but if you're going to work with people, you do it God's way. You cannot implement standards on the outside until they get saved. It doesn't make any sense. Well, put your shoes on before you come in the house. And you're all acting like a bunch of animals. Yeah, get them saved. Let them get resurrected on the inside first. Yeah, but the Indians got so mad, they killed the whole, you know, I think they had a baby and stuff like that. And it was a sad story. But the message to me was, God works from the inside out. Cults and works salvation always work from the outside in. They tell the person, baptize the body. Take the body to church. Make the body stop drinking. Make the body stop cussing. Make the body do this and do this and do this. And once again, they're working from the outside in. And God does not work that way. You get saved first and then things make sense to you. Amen? Then the Bible can make sense to you and God can speak to your heart. So number one, if you were gonna, I think I have 4 points tonight. All right. First of all, very simple. God created man a living soul. God created man a living soul. We saw that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The Spirit of God brought man alive and made him a whole body, soul, and spirit. Number two. Adam's fall killed the spirit. Adam's fall killed the Spirit. We saw that two places in Ephesians and in Colossians. We saw we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's why if you ever, as you read your Bible and as you think about it, when you're looking at people on the street corner and you're looking at them, I don't know, when they're walking down the mall or walking, that you say, wow, that's a nice coat. Nice coat. They're walking death. What does God see when He sees them? If they're lost, they're dead. They have no spirit. It's just a body and a soul. And their spirit is dead in trespasses and sins. And God says that over and over and over again in your Bible. When Adam fell, what died was his spirit on the inside. Ready? Number three. Salvation resurrects the spirit and makes it alive. Salvation resurrects the spirit and makes it alive. All right? Now, there's some places that we want to turn to tonight, so if you just listen to me closely, remember Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you got saved, breathed into your spirit, and you became alive in Christ. You became alive in God. You were resurrected. All right? The Bible also says, we'll take you to this here at the end of the Bible study, but John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive or resurrects. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I love that. Number four. I said number one, God created man a living soul. Number two, Adam's fall killed the spirit. Number three, salvation resurrects the spirit and makes it alive. Number four, ready? It is possible to be alive spiritually, but dead in your soul. And I'll show you some verses tonight. Just if you're taking notes, you can write that down. It is possible to be alive spiritually, but dead in your soul. Would you take your Bible and go to 1 Timothy chapter 5? Would you look at verse 6? It is possible to be alive spiritually, but dead in your soul. And this is the terminology God uses This is talking to Christians now, to saved people. Watch this. 1 Timothy 5:6. 1 Timothy 5:6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. It's talking to a saved person. 1 Timothy 5:6. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So you can be saved in spirit, but dead in soul if you don't live right as a Christian. Right? Praise God. Nothing can kill your spirit now that God made it alive and resurrected it. Nothing can do that. But your soul. What is your soul? That's the part that communicates with each other. That's your personality. That's your wants, your desires, your dreams, the part that makes you you. Your spirit is what talks to God when you pray and what listens to God when you read the Bible. That's your spirit. But the soul is what we communicate with, our soul. Okay? You ever hear somebody say that old statement? I'm going to date myself. You got soul, baby. Remember? they're saying you got some personality. You got some personality. You got some spunk about you. I know that's from the 60s, and I was born in 65, so that's just something I heard, okay? I never used that. I really didn't. I just thought it was funny. Okay, 1 Timothy. You're in 1 Timothy. Would you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6 teaches us that you can be alive spiritually, but dead in your soul. Dead in your soul. Look at 2 Timothy. Didn't God tell us? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You're in verse 2. Skip on down to verse number 4. See that phrase, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's describing Christians. So in 1 Timothy it says, she that lives for pleasure. They're too, and if you aren't careful, look, I realize, you know, my wife and I, we talk, and the kids nowadays have so much more available to them than we had growing up. I mean, a lot of toys. I mean, a lot of video games. That literally, and I know there's good ones and then there's normal ones and yada yada, I understand that, but there's so much more available to a teenager nowadays than there was to us when we were growing up. I mean, me, I remember our youth group, you know, I never had the money to go to the arcade. That, to me, arcades were for rich kids. You know what I mean? That's when the arcades in the 80s came out, you know, waggle, 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 you know, and all this stuff. and all this stuff. I mean, I remember that. I never went to the arcade. I watched teenagers in our youth group do it. Hey, you going to the arcade with us? No, I can't do that. I had to butcher rabbits or something, you know what I mean? As far as, or I had to, you know, work in the garden or whatever. I had stuff to do. However, this generation is so pleasure-oriented. Are we having fun yet? Are we having fun yet? And if you aren't careful, you're going to get so pleasure-oriented that you, while your spirit is alive in God and you have a lot available to you, but you won't read your Bible, you don't pray, you're alive in Christ, but you don't take advantage of anything. All you do is feed your soul on pleasures of the world. And I'm not talking, it doesn't have to necessarily, I'm not talking about sinful like sexual pleasure. I'm just talking about where life's a game and it's never serious. God says you can damage yourself. You can be spiritually alive in your spirit and resurrected and dead in your soul. You say, are you sure? Now take your Bible. Now take your Bible and go to, I have a place here. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. I'm going to spend just two more verses on this point. But this is to me very helpful. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm glad I was resurrected. June 7th, 1986 is when I placed my faith in Christ. God made me alive. Now, what is my battle? I know I can't lose my salvation, and since the devil knows you'll never go to hell, he will try to make your life a living hell until you get there. You can do things that will hurt yourself. Salvation does not protect you from that. Ready? Look at Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26 is the key verse. Watch this. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own what? Soul. Not his spirit. Is the Bible written to lost people or saved people? Saved people. He's talking to Christians. He said, what would you give in exchange for who you are? For your soul. Nothing can touch your spirit. Amen? It's been brought alive. You're alive in Christ. Nothing can. But what would you give for your soul? That's why you don't make it in the music industry or you cannot be fame and the popularity and the Satan said to Jesus, he said, bow down. He said, and I'll give you all the kingdoms you want. Because until Jesus comes, he said, I can give the kingdoms of the world to anybody I want. Do you know how you get to be number one in the music industry? You sell your soul. And they have. Well, it's just hard work. That's all it is. It's hard work and themselves. There's only one person in charge of this world. Do you understand right now? God's in charge as far as sovereign. But He is the, 1 Corinthians 4:4, God, small g, of this world right now. There's only one that He only gives the fame and the popularity and the, oh, I want to make it number one. Talk to them. They're telling people, I sold my soul to the devil. Now, however they did that, here God says, if you gain the whole world, He said, what would you give for your soul? As a Christian, you need to be careful. You can become pleasure-oriented. You can want the things of this world. I want that so bad. Oh, I want it. Careful, I've watched men say, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. And they were. And they lost their wife and their kids, but they got their $1 million. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Look at the end of the verse. See verse 26 there? It says, what shall a man give in exchange? What would you trade your soul for? Tonight's Bible study is salvation and resurrection. You were resurrected when you trusted Christ. Your spirit was made alive. You were quickened because you used to be dead in trespasses and sins. However, your spirit is supposed to affect your body. You're not supposed to cut the spirit away from... In other words, now that you're saved, you're supposed to enjoy being a Christian. Church is supposed to be fun. I mean, you're supposed to enjoy the Bible. And I'm not talking about if I'm teaching it or if you're a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking, you're supposed to enjoy the Bible. You have something that communicates with God. I mean, this feeds your soul. It feeds you spiritually when you read it. And if it doesn't, didn't Jesus say, He said, you cannot hear my voice because you are not of me. I understand if you're backslidden and you need to get right with God and you need to come back to the Lord. I understand that. But if when you read your Bible, you never enjoy it, shouldn't that be a danger signal? Have you ever had revival when just you were reading your Bible? I mean, letting God speak to your heart. And we didn't have a front pew or anything, and you just got down on your knees and you had a personal revival with God. That's available to you anytime you want it. Here, you've got to be careful. See, because we're not, and I'm so glad we're not a persecuted society. You understand? Nobody. I don't think anybody had to crawl through viaducts aren't you glad we didn't have to use flashlights tonight to come to church and sneak in here and turn the flashlights off when you're about half a mile away from the church and avoiding satellites and I mean all that stuff. Yeah, we came to church tonight and we're free. Well, with that, with a free society, you're going to have a lot more pleasures available to you. In a free society, you're going to have a lot more distractions available to you. But I promise you, if we had to fight to get here tonight and keep the lights off so they couldn't see him from the outside, if we were in a persecuted society, we wouldn't be dealing with some of the things that we deal with. That's okay. Just you need to be aware of it. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now that your spirit is saved forever? Let me show you another verse here. Watch this. We were in Matthew. Go to 2 Peter. Chapter 2, look at verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, verse 7 and 8, I want to read about Lot here. But watch this. 2 Peter chapter 2. And look at, I'm going to read verses 4 through 6 quickly. And then we'll get to verse 7 and 8. Ready? 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Here we go, look at verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Do you remember Lot, Genesis 18, 19? Do you remember Lot made a governor of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other five cities there that were combined? Do you remember him? He gave his daughters, he was going to give his daughters to the homosexuals that were outside, and then the angels brought in and smote the whole city with blindness, and the next day he's pulling his, I mean, his family was messed up. Pulling his family, the angels are saying, get out of here now, and we're going to destroy the city, and we're giving you a chance to leave, and his wife could never get over the fact, oh, but don't look back. Whatever you do, don't look back. And she's following, and all of a sudden, but Lot, I can't. She became a pillar of salt. God killed her, in other words. And Jesus did tell us, remember Lot's wife. Think about her. She couldn't leave what was behind. Then when Lot and his two daughters get over there, the incest at the end of Genesis 19, and it's disgusting, yet God calls, verse 7, Lot just. He was a saved man. This should scare you. Do you understand? This should scare me. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean I do right. Do you understand? Just because I'm saved doesn't mean that I'm protected from all... No, that's my job to do that. If you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. But you can mess your life up. And I've seen Christians... I mean, I talked to... it was sad. I got to lead one guy to the Lord and showed him how to go to heaven. And he was so grateful. Oh, thank you for showing me this. I said, hey, can you come to church tomorrow? It's Sunday, we've got services at this. He said, I can't. And I said, can you come tomorrow night? I can't. I gotta work this other job. I said, how many jobs do you work? He said, I work three jobs. I said, three jobs? I said, like, yeah, he said, it's 40, 40, and 20. He said, I work right around, 100 hours a week. I said, what, how come? He said, I got four kids to pay for. He said, and if I don't pay it, I go to jail. I'm glad he's saved, amen. But his life is messed up. Do you understand? In other words, I understood. And I said, if I can do anything for you, please let me know. But his life was messed up. Praise God, his spirit was resurrected and saved eternally. But his life was messed up. You understand? watch this. Just Lot. Look at verse 8. God calls Lot just. And then look at verse 8. For that righteous man. There's another word that God uses for the saved. Righteous. Dwelling among them. This is talking about the homosexuals, the immoral crowd. In seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul, his saved soul. I understand, his spirit was saved, but he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. know what that tells me? You can only hang around the wrong crowd so long, and you will not become like who you want to become like. You will become like those you hang around. And if you don't like those you hang around, then get away from them, because you will be like them. You can't run with dogs and not get fleas. You can't run with pigs and not get mud on you. And you can't run with the wrong crowd. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's God's promise. You run with fools, people who disregard God's word, you will be destroyed. Your spirit? No. Your soul can be damaged. Here, the word vex, if you ever look it up, I looked it up, and it says troubling and disturbing grief and harassment. The word vex means to afflict by aggression and encroachment. So, your spirit is saved or resurrected from the dead when you receive the Word of God. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Praise the Lord for the day of your salvation. Your life is changed when your soul receives the Word of God. Can you take your Bible and go to James chapter 1? We're almost done. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So your spirit is resurrected or made alive as it acts on the Word of God, and you're made alive spiritually and resurrected. That which was dead is brought back to life. Now, let's watch what happens. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, it's a good word, of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your spirit, soul. God didn't accidentally, oh yeah, I meant spirit. God put soul there. Do you know what? You know what keeps your soul healthy? The Word of God. If you receive the Word of God, then God says, just like I resurrected your soul and brought it, your spirit and brought it to life, God says, I can, whatever damage you've done to your soul, you can be resurrected and you can be strengthened. God says the Word of God can save your soul. Your spirit gets saved to go to heaven. Your soul gets saved, amen, as you read the Word of God and it's strengthened, all right? Here we go. And if since we're there in James 1, look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So knowing what the Bible says and doing what the Bible says, look, the fastest road to happiness is obedience, right? You doing what you know God says to do. Then quit playing with it. Then quit playing with it. If you want to be happiness comes when what you know matches what you do. You cannot violate yourself and what you know is wrong and walk around with a wonderful smile on your face. You can't do that. I can't either, by the way. God says here, when you receive the Word of God, when you receive the engrafted Word and your soul starts getting healthy, the more you do what God says, right? You become a doer of the Word of God, not just a hearer only. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Yeah, I hear it. But how much do you do it? Do you understand? Your obedience should be important to you. To you. Your soul. Receiving the Word of God is your submission and your obedience personally. Receiving the Word of God is when you allow God's Word to correct and change your life or your soul. Go to, now that we understand, here, let me review. You go to Philippians chapter 3, okay? Go to Philippians chapter 3, and I got just couple more verses here. So, we said, when you got saved, your spirit was resurrected or made alive or quickened, and that's what saved you. As you receive the Word of God, God can save your soul or your personality or what makes you you and bring it to life. And I'm talking about giving spiritual life. That happens when you receive. You see the two resurrections? Do you see what can happen? And I've seen people. This is how Jesus changes your life. This is also how somebody can get saved. Their spirit can be brought to life, and their soul is still a mess, and they never experience a changed life. Although they're on their way to heaven, right? And their sins are all gone. You say, well, if somebody gets saved, their life ought to be different. And it can be, but if they don't put the word... If you don't go to church, you don't grow. I don't care how many Bible studies you go to. Bible study is never supposed to be a substitute for church. Never. I'm glad you're doing it, but don't call it church, amen? You can't grow without church. You can't. There are several things. Okay, you're there. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Now let's look at this resurrection power. Ready? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Salvation and resurrection. Look at this. Philippians 3, 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You knew who Paul was? I mean, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had all the prestige and the learning and the degrees and the credits. And he said, I gave it all up. I suffered the loss of my position. He said, my status in the community, my education. He said that I may win Christ, verse 9, and be found in Him, in the Lord Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Watch this. Why? Verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. There's still not a period there yet. The period's at the end of verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul knew he was saved. He's not talking about salvation. He said, I want to know Him. He said, I know my spirit's saved. He said, but I'm laboring for a good resurrection and a good standing one day when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, I want the power of His resurrection. I want to know what it's like to live a resurrected life after you've been resurrected to get saved. That's what He's saying. He said, there is power available. Now that your spirit's been resurrected, there is power available. A resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that that created life. The Spirit of God that created life in us. That same power can change your life if you'll let it. He can. Well, you say, are you sure? Let's look at one more passage. Are you ready? This is that resurrection power. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I feel so sorry. You know, you go on vacation, you see a lot of people, and my goodness. I was in McDonald's and watched one girl take 5 selfies of herself in a minute and a half. The mom's order and she's... Delete, delete. I'm not against selfies. I don't think selfies are sinful, but good grief, that girl wasn't stuck on herself. She was shish kebabbed on herself. You understand? You understand? Guys aren't the only ones with egos, okay? She had a pretty big one. It's just... Ready? Here we go. It makes me feel sorry for people is what it does. Romans chapter 8. Watch this. Verse number 10. And if Christ, Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, if you're saved, the body is dead because of sin. You're always going to have your flesh to struggle with. You're always going to have the pull of the flesh. It's always going to be there until one day I die and I go to heaven. And I'm looking forward to no more temptation. I'm looking forward to it. But your body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit, watch this, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead, look at this, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's not talking about the resurrection one day when we all, when Jesus comes and we meet Him in the air and He calls us, come forth. And I know I'm running out of time, but like He did Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth, like He says in Revelation 4, come up hither. What are we listening for? A shout, right? We're going to hear Him shout His word. Come forth! Boom! We're out of here. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited about it. However, this isn't talking about that quickening your mortal bodies at the resurrection. This is talking about your body that's dead in sin being made alive with resurrection power. Now, it's talking about victory over your habits. You ever watch somebody quit smoking? Hard. They don't need criticism. They need your prayers. How do you help someone establish new habits? The same Spirit that lives in you, that made you, that got you saved, is the same Spirit, if you'll yield to Him, can give you victory over your body habits. Do you understand? In other words, that's how we get victory. We don't, I know it's not the power of positive thinking. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Oh, I did it again. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Oh, I did it again. I know it's not that. I love Romans chapter 8. It is the recipe for victory. It is the recipe. How do I change? Well, I've just always done this. Well, is it right to do? You say, I just have a hard time getting up in the morning. How can I say, well, how can you break the habit of hitting the snooze alarm? Well, one, move the stupid clock across the room. So you got to get out of bed to turn it off. Number two, yield to the Holy Spirit and He can quicken your body. And you say, are you sure? If I read the verse to you, watch this. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. How do I get victory? You don't know. I mean, talk to them. When they get saved, I used to smoke dope at this time. You can get victory over that. If you'll yield your body to the Holy Spirit, God can give you victory over bad habits. How do you help somebody who's cussing? Oh, my mouth, I just cussed for years. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And He can quicken or make alive or resurrect. And you can live a resurrected life. Because now we're not talking in Romans 8 about being saved. We're talking about the victorious Christian life. Two resurrections. One resurrection is when your spirit, when you trusted Jesus, you were made alive in Christ. Your soul. Let's talk about your soul. Quit vexing your soul. Rock music will vex and damn your soul. Won't do anything to your spirit. Do you understand? You cannot listen to that junk. No one can without it vexing them. Bible word, right? You can't hang around the wrong crowd without it vexing you in seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds. If you want that resurrection life of a Christian, a happy Christian, getting saved is one issue. That you trust in the Lord Jesus because you're dead in trespasses and sins. Living a resurrected life is you receiving the Word of God so your soul can be saved. I hope it's a help. Let's pray. Please, Father, we love You tonight. Thank You. Thank You for Your Word. I pray that, please, You could help each